Talking about missions, and today, if you're taking notes, if you have a iPad or a smartphone, uversion.com/live, there's some notes there. You can follow along, or if you're taking notes, the title of my message is His Mission Becomes Our Mission, you know, if you haven't been here long enough, or if you haven't been watching or listening, Shannon and I, we truly have a heart for missions. We believe that Jesus is not just for us, for me and my home only. Jesus is not just for us Americans. Jesus is for everyone, and Jesus needs to be shared with everyone. And that's been the theme of this whole month, is it's a human right. It's a human right that every person in this world has the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel means good news. And I've preached a message before that a lot of times we have good news and we share those good news with people. Bought a brand new pair of shoes. I just bought a new car. I just bought this. I just bought that. And we share that information with someone. And we need to make sure that we know what the good news is so that we can share the good news to those that need good news. Who needs good news? The good news of Jesus Christ, those that don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for them. Those that have not confessed their sins, that Jesus has confessed their sins and believe that Jesus has died on the cross for the forgiveness of those sins. And so I begin this message with just something simple about the gospel. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Listen, none of us can be reconciled to God, meaning made right with God, being tight with God or in a relationship with God. None of us can be reconciled to God to enter into his own kingdom because of what we have done, because of who I am. That's never possible, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The next verse is Romans 5:8. You see, God demonstrated his love to you and to me that while God knew we were a sinner, he still sent Jesus to die for us. Now, for those of you that you're probably thinking, well, I already know those scriptures. Well, don't tune me out right away, because a lot of times we need to hear the scriptures again. The Word of God says that our faith is built up, or that our faith increases by the reading of God's Word. So just don't tune me out. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were being sinners, he gave Christ to die for us. There is no other name under heaven where we can be saved, but only the name of Jesus. It is the only name. That is why Jesus is such a powerful name. He is a powerful, he was and he still is a powerful man. And he is God. And so Romans chapter 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All of us, or those of us that have jobs, raise your hand. You have a job. And at time of you receiving your paycheck, at the time of receiving your wages, you receive a check, or it's deposited into your account, and there is something that you receive. It is money. It is wages. Wages for what? Well, for your work. Well, the wages of sin is death. What you and I will get without Jesus, having Jesus in our heart, knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what we will get for our sinful life, because we are, you know, we're sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. What we're going to receive is death. But God says, but wait a minute, hold up. I love you so much, I'm going to send Jesus to die for you. So you don't have to receive death. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you this free gift, and I want you to receive eternal life. So you either choose to receive death, or you choose to receive eternal life at the end of your life. And so Romans 6:23 says it clearly. The wages of sin is death. I don't want death. I don't want you to receive death. But I want you to receive the free gift that God gives, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So receiving God's gift and confessing our sin is the only way to heaven. Romans 10:9-10 says, we must confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. It is important to understand this, because with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we got to believe in our heart and then also speak with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Jesus from the dead. We have to believe in that and confess in that and walk in that, and we will receive salvation. The gospel is the good news of Jesus, as I said earlier. He came to die for you to give you eternal life, because by faith in God's grace are we saved. It's never, ever, ever. Everyone say never. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. By what you do. You are not saved by what you do, but what Jesus has already done for you. I was listening to a preacher on television, and he was talking about this, and it just really just, I mean, it's stuff, some scriptures that I've already heard, but this is the coolest thing, that the Holy Spirit just gives, just opens up a little bit and gives us a little revelation of something deeper. The fact that many of us, we can get caught up in living just like the Israelites did, living by the law or living by the Old Testament. That depends on how much you read your Bible, depends on how often you come to church, that you think God says, oh, I like you. Oh, yeah, you're my son. Oh, yeah, you're not his son and daughter just because you how much time you spend in reading the word. You're not his son and daughter just because you come to church all the time. Can I hear an amen? You are a son and daughter because you accepted his free gift. You are his son or daughter because you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you've confessed with your mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my supreme authority. You are my number one. You are the man, and there is no one like you, and I'm going to follow you. That's why you are his son. That's why you are his daughter. But a lot of times we tend to think, well, I got to go to church, and I got to do this, and I got to do that because I'm a son. No, 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 no. Don't get caught up in that. Yes, without works, our faith is, what we say our faith is, and that there's no works, our faith is dead. Scripture says that. It's understandable. But make sure that you remind yourself, I don't deserve eternal life, but I'm thankful that God gave me that day that I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Help me to live for you. Because if it wasn't for that day, if it wasn't for God touching me and allowing me to see that I need Jesus, if it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for that day, man, I will receive death at the end of my life. I will receive death. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. This message, now I say must, only because as I was typing it, I felt like the Lord wanted me to say must, because it is true. It's even true with me. This message must burn within my heart. This message must burn within your heart, in the hearts of those who believe that Jesus is Lord and believe that it is vital to share this good news to those who are in need of a Savior. It must burn within us. Why doesn't it? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because our lack of spending time with Jesus. Maybe it's because the lack of time of spending in his word that we don't see. Maybe it's because the lack of us focusing on what's more important in life. We're talking about that this morning. What's important? What we spend our money on or what we do, what's more important? Our will or God's will? What's more important? Does it burn within you? You know, it can. As a matter of fact, let me go even farther and say, it should. Why should it? I mean, look what the disciples did. You're going to tell me that this message didn't burn within them? What did they die for? Matter of fact, what did they live for? They lived for something that was so important, so worthy. I mean, they didn't even find themselves worthy, but it was so worthy to live for. And it was so amazing that after they got arrested and beaten up, they praised God for going through that. You're going to tell me that they didn't have passion and this good news of Jesus Christ didn't burn within them? I tell you what, it did. At any moment before they got arrested and before they got tortured and before they became martyrs, at any moment they could have said, you know what? I renounce Jesus. You know what? Jesus, I lied. Jesus isn't my Savior. They could have said that at any point in their life. But you know what? They didn't. Why? Because it was the good news. It was Jesus that was living inside of them. The good news of Jesus Christ was so important, so vital, that if I go ahead and go back on what I say is the truth, What did I just tell everybody else what I've been doing the last few months, years? That it was just a hoax. That it's not really that important. To them, it was so important that they died for it. Today, we got missionaries going in places. It's illegal to go, and they called it proselytize. I think that sounds really ugly. but they're going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're just sharing good news. That's all they're doing. Because they're not the ones that save people. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts the person that's hearing the good news. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals to them, you're a sinner and you need Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit's job that does that. All they get to do is say, I'm going to go share the good news of Jesus Christ. And they go to places that's dangerous. Now, some of them don't, but a lot of missionaries do. The one in the Middle East that we support, she's going to places where there's only, the last time she was here, she said there were two Christians. I'd like to hope and say that there was more than two Christians now because she's there. And it's in a place that it's illegal to go ahead and start having church services and start telling people about Jesus. It's illegal to tell people the good news in some places. Why do they go over there? Because that message burns within them. That message is so vitally important. So, is the message burning in my heart? It can. It should. Well, why isn't it? Well, that's something that maybe you can ask the Holy Spirit and you can ask the Lord. Spend some time in prayer and ask God, why isn't it burning within you? Spending time with Jesus and in the presence of God's Holy Spirit, it has changed my passion. It has changed my attitude. It has changed my desires in life that what I thought was something worth seeking for before, man, spending time with Jesus, spending time reading his word, spending time listening and waiting on the Holy Spirit, it's changed my attitude. You can ask my wife. It's changed my attitude. It's changed my passion. It's changed my desire. It's caused and allowed me to see what is really important in life. What is really important in life? Now, I don't think God wants me and my family to live in a cardboard box at 160 Woodhaven or on Highway 40. But I do believe that God wants us that wherever we live, wherever we go, man, that message, that good news burns within us. And man, we got to share it. We got to tell it. Just think of something that you just shared with somebody the other day. Just think about that. Something you shared with. What are you talking about? Well, if you're a sport fanatic, did you just talk to somebody about your team who just won, you know, the game and how they got, you know, they won the last two games? Did you talk to somebody about NASCAR? Did you talk to somebody about golf? You know, hey, Tiger Woods, he actually made the cut. He didn't get cut. He's playing today. I mean, did you actually talk to somebody about something that happened to you that was good news? How easy was that? And yet, you know what? And I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, because even yesterday we had a men's Bible study. Those of you men, you missed it, but there'll be one in September. But we had a men's Bible study, and Bill Akers, he's not here, but Bill Akers, he asked me a question, and I kind of felt bad. He asked me if I had a track or an invited card, and I'm like, oh, I don't have any extras in my wallet. And of course, Vince was there, and he says, yeah, right. So he's trying to instigate something like I never carry them. But Bill Akers had one in his wallet, and I got convicted. Here I am, the pastor. I should have those cards in my wallet all the time. I should have tracks in my vehicle all the time. But I don't. So I got convicted. Lord, forgive me. I need to do better at that. But how many of us, we find it so easy to share some good news, but when it comes to inviting someone to church or telling somebody about your Jesus, we just said a little while ago, people were saying, Jesus is my Savior. It is, somehow it becomes difficult to share about your Savior. But yet it's easy to talk to somebody about the new kicks you just bought, the new shirt, the new dress, the new suit you just bought. It's easy to tell somebody about that. Lord, help us, because it's got to be his will that we live for, not ours. And that's the problem. And that's why we need to spend time in the presence of the Lord. That's why we need to spend time in his presence and in his word to get our focus back on track. It's not my will, Lord. It's your will that I live for. Hallelujah. Slide one. So a mission from Camden to the world. You know, it's silly of us to think that we are doing due diligence for the kingdom of God by financially supporting missions. All this month we've been asking people to pray and ask God, Lord, how much should our family give to missions this month and for the next 6 months? Lord, how much should we give? And so there are people that have been responding and have been giving for many years now to missions. But you know what? It's silly of us to think that we're doing due diligence of financially supporting missions, but not doing anything in Camden County when it comes to missions. Silly of us to think, well, at least I send money to missions, but what are you doing in your backyard? Slide two. What are you doing from your backyard? Backyard meaning Camden. I mean, I don't know whose backyard this is, but if this is your backyard, I'm going to your house. We're going to go ahead and have a cookout. And we're going to go swim today. But this is not anybody's that I know of. But what are we doing in our backyard? What are we doing in Kingsland? See, God's got a challenge for us today. Now, I'm not sure how many of you are going to take this challenge. How many of you are just going to go, whatever. That's up to you. That's between you and God. But there's a challenge going to be given to you today. I pray that you'll take this challenge. But what are we doing in our own backyard? What attempts have we made personally? Now, I already gave you an example. I failed in always having invited cards in my wallet. So personally, I already messed up there, okay? But what are we doing personally? Be honest, you know, because God knows and God sees. Maybe from today's message, a passion will form within you. Something that's never been there before, but I pray to God that the Holy Spirit will place a passion within your heart that you will become more effective, or that you'll put this into practice in your life more and more. That there'll be a sense of urgency to mobilize yourself and or your family to stop having intentions. How many of you guys have good intentions? I got good intentions. I got intention to do this or that. But what is Rick doing to make sure it's not just intentions, but I actually do it? You see, I think Shannon said this a long time ago. I'm not sure where she got it from. But there'll be a lot of people that won't enter into the kingdom of God because all they had was good intentions. They didn't have Jesus. And all they had was good intentions. Well, I really wanted to. Well, I really wanted to surrender my life. Well, I really wanted to give to that ministry. Well, you know what? You really wanted to do that? What did you do? What did you do? So I'm praying, and I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to many of us today. All of us, hopefully. That there will be a sense of urgency to mobilize ourselves, our family, to stop having intentions and formulate a plan, because without God's help, you're bound to fail. Without God helping you, without the Holy Spirit's help, you're not gonna accomplish anything. Anything for the kingdom, anything for God. Because it is the Holy Spirit that helps us and leads us. Slide three. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. I'm gonna read verses 51 through 62. And if you could stand, Jesus is about to send 70 people, according to Luke 9. He's about to send 70 people out. And Jesus was already sending some before the 70 as he was walking to Jerusalem. And it says, now it came to pass when the time had come for him, Jesus, to be received up, meaning to be arrested and betrayed, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from? Lord, who do they think they are? Do you want us to go ahead and, you know, I mean, they tried to act like they were Jesus's muscle. Okay. You know, bodyguards. Lord, you want us to take care of them? Because they ain't treating you right, Lord. We'll go ahead and call fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just like Elijah did. But Jesus, he turned and rebuked them, told them, y'all better shut up and be quiet. He said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Listen, your life may not be great. It may not, there's probably a lot of dips than there is ups, okay? But understand this, God came, God sent Jesus to save you. God sent Jesus to save you from what's to come. Remember I said the wages of sin is death? God came, God sent Jesus to come to save you from the death that's before you. If you'll just accept his free gift, which is eternal life. And they went to another village. Verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to Jesus, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. This is a guy who had good intentions. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, that guy had a response to do. He had a response to make. Either continue to follow Jesus, because Jesus says, look, I got nowhere to sleep. I don't know when we're going to have our next meal. You still want to follow me? Let's go on. Verse 59. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Now, that didn't mean, commentaries state that that didn't mean that he actually lost his father that very day. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. That's pretty harsh. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I'll follow you. Must have been listening to what the other guy said and didn't do anything. So he said, Lord, I'll follow you. But first, let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But first, let me go home and tell my family, see you later. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray you speak to us, God. Lord, I pray that you already begin to ignite that fire and that passion within every single one of us, Lord. There is a good news that needs to be shared, Lord. Lord, and I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking to you about some missionaries that I would call heroes. Of course, my greatest hero, my superhero is Jesus, because he's the one that nobody killed Jesus. He gave his life. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. So Jesus is my superhero. But there are some heroes that we talked about. Shannon shared about Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary that went to China and shared the good news to people in China that didn't know about Jesus. And then I shared about Mark Buntain, him and his family. Buntain. And that they had gone to India and they went to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ there. And then last week, Shannon spoke, name just left me, Brother Andrew, who took the gospel, who took Bibles into places that it was illegal. And it was so cool. If you weren't here last week, he said this prayer, Lord, cover their eyes, blind their eyes so that they don't see what they're not supposed to see. Because he had a vehicle and he had luggage full of Bibles and he wasn't supposed to take them into this country. And those security guards or those guards, they opened up the trunk, they opened up the luggage. They didn't see any Bibles. And he took those Bibles into places that where people needed to read and people needed to know about Jesus. And so we look at those people and they went to different parts of the world. And yet here we are in Camden County. And this is why it might have sound harsh. I'm going to use this, what I heard the other day. I apologize that I cannot apologize for saying that. It is silly for us to think that we are doing due diligence for the kingdom of God, where we're financially supporting missionaries and think that that's all we got to do, but we're not going to share the gospel from our own backyard. We need to allow God to refocus, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to ignite our heart with that passion. So what attempts have we made? And we need to have this sense of urgency. So Jesus sent, he's about to send the 70. We're not there yet. But I wanted us to read this because he is making it clear what it will take to follow Jesus. To follow him in the midst of the unknown and life's comforts. Remember, he said, hey, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I don't have a place where to lay my head. Look, I don't know where we're going to sleep. I don't know what we're going to eat. Are you still wanting to follow me? A lot of people just wanted to follow Jesus because they wanted to see him do it again. Do it again, Jesus, where you go ahead and you feed 5,000 with just a little boy's lunch. I want to see that again. That's why I'm following you. Jesus wanted them to follow him because of what he was saying. He was talking about the kingdom of God, not because of just those, you know, great miracles that he was doing. But the desire to follow Jesus, there must be a desire to follow that rises above all other desires that we have. Man, we need to make sure that while we're following Jesus, there is nothing worth turning back to. I was talking to Shannon just the other day and saying, you know what? The things that I've done in my past, I have no desire to go back to those things. I have no desire to live that life again. And it's kind of like a video game sometime in my head, because as a desire goes, I shoot it down. As a desire comes, I shoot it down. I destroy it. I eradicate it. I don't know what kind of gun I have, but I shoot it down. Because when those thoughts come up, and it's just the flesh trying to resurrect itself, and I just remind myself who I am, that I'm a child of God. Okay? To follow Jesus means to leave all behind. And the disciples proved this because they left everything just to go follow Jesus. So let's go to the next chapter, chapter 10. Now, I'm going to read verses 1 through 24, but I'm going to kind of skip around. Let's go to slide 4 and 5 before we go to that verse, though. Slide 4 says, Luke 10, 2. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Next slide. There's, I like this, help wanted. The harvest is great. Now we're going to find out there's an important thing. The harvest is great, meaning there are a lot of people, thousands of people that have not heard about Jesus. There are a lot of people that need to hear the good news. The harvest is great. Help wanted. Now, I'm not trying to say that God needs your help, because God don't need none of our help. But the coolest thing is that God says, hey, I want to use you. Hey, I want to use you. You know what? I want to use you because there are people that don't know Jesus. You know Jesus. So I need you, and I want you, and I want you to share the good news that you know to those that don't know. You know what? That's very humbling. Very exciting. Very humbling. Very exciting because Jesus is choosing me. He's wanting me to share this. Jesus wants me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's humbling because I think, man, I'm not worthy. I mess up. I keep forgetting to put invite cards in my wallet. Lord, are you serious? You want to use me? I keep messing up. He says, yeah, I want to keep using you. Because what you got, what you know, is so powerful, is so life transforming, that I want you to continue to share that with people. Good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. So let's go. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way, he said. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be dangerous sometimes. Carry nothing, neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. What? You don't want us to say hi to anybody? Look, Jesus is saying, I don't want you to get distracted. You got a money bag? You're going to be distracted because you're going to spend something. You're going to lose some money. Somebody might rip you off. Look, don't even carry any money because you don't need money. Don't carry a knapsack nor sandals. Now, back then, probably half the population didn't own sandals, so that wasn't really a big problem. But he says, greet no one along the road. Remember what he said before? When a guy says, hey, Jesus, I'll follow you, but first let me go back home and say my goodbyes. And Jesus says, hey, anybody that's going to follow me, put their hand to the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom. Now, I'm not a farmer, okay? Didn't grow up as a farmer. My dad wanted me to help him out in the yard, in the garden or whatever, many times. And as a spoiled little brat, I figured out ways of getting out of helping him out in the backyard. But I don't know what farmers do and how they make those lines so straight. It's amazing. Now, whether they use, machines nowadays, but before, they just focused on one thing. They started their tractor, they went ahead and they just started tilling the ground, and they just focused on one thing. And that's what Jesus is pretty much saying here. Look, I just want you to focus on one thing. I'm about to send you out, so you don't need no sandals, you don't need a bag of money. Matter of fact, don't even talk to anybody, because some of you, now some of us in this room, we start talking to somebody, that's why we spend so long at Walmart, because we find so many people that we see, we spend so much time talking to them that it interrupts our grocery shopping, right? Okay, so number 5, but whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you, and remain in that same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of the wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Verse 9, heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now that verse there, when he talks about going into a city, reminded me of when Jesus was talking about his hometown. He said his hometown, those people couldn't see miracles. He couldn't do miracles. He couldn't do the amazing things that God wanted him to do in that hometown of his, because people, they just knew him as Jesus of Nazareth, carpenter's son. Oh yeah, they had no faith. That is sad. To have a hometown, this is where Jesus grew up, all right, to go to his hometown and not a single person in that town, in that neighborhood, not a single person in that hood had faith enough to believe in God or in the fact that God was using Jesus. So that's why Jesus says, I can't do nothing over there. Y'all don't have faith in me. Y'all don't have faith in God. God can't do nothing here. And so Jesus says, look, if you go into a city and they don't want to receive you, they don't want to receive, they don't want to hear what you got to say, go back, go outside of that house or go into the streets and go into that street and say, what do you say? Yeah. The very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Verse 12, but I say to you that it would be more tolerable in that day for Sodom in that city. He's really putting that city down. And it's all because the people are not wanting to receive the people that have the good news. So he says in verse 2, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. He appoints and sends them out to do what? Now, this isn't the instruction, but this is the very reason why he's sending them out. The harvest is great. Remember, I said there are thousands upon thousands of people in this world that don't know Jesus. Do you believe that God is only wanting to send the missionaries that have responded to go? So if you're not a bona fide missionary, then it's really not your responsibility. It is every single person's responsibility that believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that has the good news, to share the good news. It's all of our responsibility, because there is a need. The harvest truly is great. Then verse 5, it says, but whatever house you enter first, say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. What does that mean? He wanted them to bring peace to every house if there were peaceable people that were willing to receive the peace. Now, I have a real quick commentary from John Clark's commentary. He talks about this verse, and it says, in the Jewish style, a man who has any good or bad quality is called the son of it. Thus, wise men are called the children of wisdom. So likewise, what a man is doomed to, he is called the son of. As in Ephesians 2:3, wicked men are styled or called the children of wrath. So if you are a gossiper, you're a son of a talebearer or a gossiper. That's what you would, or a daughter. That's what you would be known as. John 17:12, it talks about Judas. He's called the son of perdition. The son of peace in this text not only means a peaceable, quiet man, but one also of good report for his uprightness and benevolence. It would have been a dishonor to this mission had the missionaries taken up their longings with those who had not a good report among them who were without. So Jesus is saying, look, I want you to bring peace to those that were willing to receive the peace that you have. And the great thing is that it's not this peace that's of the world. It's God's peace. Amen. Verse 9, and Jesus says, and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, heal the sick and say the kingdom of God has come near. More likely, even back then, even today, if you walk into Walmart, you see somebody you know, maybe somebody you don't know, and you got the guts to go ahead and go up to that person and you say, the kingdom of God has come near. More chances, they're going to say, what in the world are you talking about? Say what? They might say, explain this. They might just look at you weird and just keep walking away. But I sat there thinking, Lord, why would you just tell them to say the kingdom of God has come near? Is it possible that Jesus told them to say more things, but it's only written in scripture that he just said the kingdom of God is near, has come near? More likely, people have asked or will ask, and this will bring about an opportunity to share Jesus. This is why some of you may not know, I don't know what to say. What do I say to people? You're telling me I have this responsibility to go into my county, in my backyard, and tell people about Jesus. What do I say? Well, say what you know. Jesus saved you. Start talking about who you used to be. And then tell them, but I don't do that anymore. You know, sometimes people look at me weird because they're astonished that it's been over 20 years since I've had Now, back then, of course, anyway, I don't see them anymore, okay? But back then, people know what 40s are, okay? But when I tell people that, I, you know, been 20 years since I had a 40 in my hand, Some of you are thinking $40, 40, you know, 40 coins or whatever. It's a 40 ounce of beer. And it's been over 20 years since I had a cigarette, since it's been 20 years since I got high, since it's been 20 years since I've been doing that. What? Really? Are you serious? You haven't had a can of beer that long? No. I said, well, no, I can have a can of beer, but I know that that's going to, you know, where that's going to lead. I'm going to start having 40s back in my hand. I know that's going to lead. I said, so I haven't had any of that. I haven't had a shot of whiskey, a shot of tequila. I haven't had the worm in 20 years, over 20 years. And people can't understand that. But see, you can share something that God has done for you. Doesn't that relieve some of the pressure? Whew, I don't have to share all the scriptures that pastor just quoted a little while ago. Wow. Yeah, it relieves some of the pressure. But don't let it relieve the responsibility. You got that heavy responsibility that you know the good news of Jesus Christ. And there's a heavy responsibility. Why? Because you know what? The same thing that when Jesus was around is still the same today. The harvest is truly great. There are still thousands of people that need to hear Jesus. And Jesus says, but the laborers are few. Then Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Now, this is the thing. If the harvest really isn't that big of a deal that it's truly great, why would Jesus say, pray to the Father that God would send forth laborers? There is an importance. The harvest is truly, there's thousands of people that need to hear Jesus. And it is so important that we are told by Jesus to pray to the Father, Father, send forth the laborers. So guess what? I've already prayed for y'all that the Lord will send you, the Holy Spirit will convict you and send you to share the good news of Jesus Christ to those who need to hear it. I'm closing. Hold on. So he sends, verse 17, let's drop down to verse 17. Then the 70 return. So he sends them out, then the 70 return with joy, not sadness, but joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So just by that, what do you suppose happened? What did those 70 just end up doing? He says, the demons were subject to us in your name. What did they do? Cast out demons. Gave them the boot. Rebuked demons. Rebuked evil spirits. They really messed up Satan's wicked schemes and evil devices. Verse 18. And he said to them, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, I stopped there and I thought, Lord, that would have been a great thing to say to them before they went out. Because we don't know if Jesus might have said that. He just reiterated and just, you know, reminded them. He might have said that, but Scripture doesn't tell us. But I thought, man, that would have been a really great thing to share with them before you sent them. So now they came back and they're excited. Man, demons, we even have authority over demons that we could cast them out in your name. And so Jesus, he's not a killjoy because they came back with joy. He says, look, I saw Satan fall from heaven. I was there. I saw it. I gave you power tread upon serpents. I give you power to do all this stuff. And then he says this, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Say what? But Lord, we just had an awesome time. Every single one of us, we came back and we all got stories that I rebuked this and I rebuked that. And you're telling us not to focus on this? And he says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. He wants to keep them focused, not get distracted. Look, don't get distracted. All those demons that they listen to what you said. You know, listen, I saw Satan fall from heaven. OK, don't get caught up in that. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. It's a funny thing that we can get off track while we're doing the work of God. Our focus must remain on Jesus. Our focus must remain who saved us and the good news that we have. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us or traps us. A lot of you got to lay aside a lot of weight. Now, don't take that wrong. I'm talking about weight as far as the things that are troubling you, the sin which so easily ensnares and traps you. Any of us in this room that will be able to say, I have not been tempted all week. You just lied. Okay? You just lied. But there is a sin that tries to ensnare us And that's our flesh. Because our flesh wants to do this, our flesh wants to do that. At the most pivotal point in time, Jesus prayed and he told the Father, "Not my will be done, Lord, but let your will be done." Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is why it is so important that while we go through life, make sure nothing distracts us from doing the will of God. You know what? You know what's going to help you? Keep your eye on Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Keep your mind and your eyes focused on Jesus. That will help you to not get distracted. And because of this sin that will so easily ensnare us or trap us, it's the desires of the flesh. Jesus endured so much for us. So why quit? Why live another way? Why live selfishly? Why pursue to do our will? Let us keep our eyes focused on Jesus. So the important thing Jesus is saying is to be joyful that your name is written in heaven. Slide 6, please. That your names are written in heaven, the Lamb's book of life. Celebrate in that. Rejoice in that. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I am born again. Jesus is my Savior. There should be a celebration that goes on in your life. Not just once a week that you come and you sing. I mean, you better do it every single day. On your way to work, on your way back to work. Praise the Lord that you are a born again believer. Praise the Lord that Jesus is inside of you. Praise the Lord that the same Spirit. Now listen to me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Some of y'all don't get that. Now, maybe you don't want to clap or get excited or something. Maybe you're too tired. But the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He lives in you. You're a born-again Christian. He lives in you. Now, honestly, I was really looking for more excitement, but, you know, maybe y'all get excited on the way home, hopefully. Maybe the spirit of excitement will jump on you. We are not sure exactly what else took place from these 70 when they were sent, only that they had authority over demons and in using Jesus' name, and that's what happened. Not sure how many homes they received, how many homes refused them. Not sure how many people heard of the kingdom of God or even asked questions about the kingdom of God. Not sure how many were healed. Not sure how many cities were like that city that did not that refused their peace. But they went and did miraculous things for the kingdom of God. Luke 10:23-24, Jesus says, "Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, 'Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it.'" I wonder if the prophets from the Old Testament saints, if they were to walk into this room and shake you. I'm gonna do this to you because I know you're not going to get mad. Stand up. No, don't stand up. And shake you for not getting excited that the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. See, the prophets of old and the Old Testaments would love to swap places with us, to experience. What does it feel? What does it feel to have the Spirit of God inside of you? What does it feel that when you're about to do something wrong, the Holy Spirit hits you upside the head, you know, on the inside and tells you, "What are you doing?" I know that was kind of funny, but just dropped my microphone. No, I'm not doing it again. I'm glad we don't have recording, but I would love to have video recording in the future. But I mean, some of these Old Testament saints would love to have that experience. What does it feel like to be woken up in the middle of the night that the Holy Spirit begins to tell you to pray for this family? What does that feel like? Because you know what? I had to wait for God. I had to wait for God to tell somebody and to get somebody's attention just to hear what God wants me to do or what God wants me to hear. I wonder how bad you would feel if God really, I hope God does, if God really allowed you to see how you treat the Holy Spirit. How you treat His Holy Spirit. And the fact that it is the Holy Spirit that leads us to go out those doors and is the Holy Spirit that wants to speak through us, that's wanting to lead us to go tell somebody about the good news. And if it's not telling somebody, it's showing somebody. But how we kick them to the curb because, well, we're going to do our own thing. And maybe it's not that, but we're going to kick the Holy Spirit to the curb because that's just too weird. To go and walk up to some complete stranger and do this or say this. That's just weird. A lot of the things that God did through the Holy Spirit, really honestly, is weird. But it was a God thing, and so if it's a God thing, it's a good thing. Amen? But I truly wonder how bad we will feel if God just opened up and began to show us how we treat His Holy Spirit as a weird, difficult thing. I only talk about it, or I only, you know, experience it when no one's around, or I only do it if other people follow. And if God just began to show you a recording of how many times you kick His Holy Spirit to the curb because of how you feel, of how weird it is, of how unnatural it is. Do you know that Holy Spirit's not, it's not natural to us? Holy Spirit is supernatural. It's the Spirit of God. And people can't understand it. That's why earlier there were some people that have wanted more of God, but they were too afraid because of how weird it was going to sound if they actually spoke. I don't know how many people don't actually express being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues because they're so focused on how weird it sounds, what other people are going to say. It's unnatural. It's not right. It's weird. And they don't experience it. And it's true. God, He ain't going to force you. Brian was talking about this morning. God's not going to force you to do anything. So you know what? You don't want to move in the Spirit. You don't want to allow the Spirit to move you. He ain't going to force you. You just missed out. That's it. So we're going to go out these doors today and this week, and the challenge is going to be given. And some of you, you're not going to allow the Holy Spirit to use you, to lead you, to guide you, to speak through you. Guess what? You're going to miss out. Whose fault is that? Your fault. You're going to miss out. But it's the Holy Spirit of God that's even speaking through me right now. It is the Holy Spirit of God that's doing what He does in your life. That's why people are seeing a difference in you. If people see a difference in you and who you used to be, that's good. That's the Holy Spirit moving in you. That's God doing what He wants to do in you and through you for His glory, not your glory. What a blessing. What a blessing to know and experience something that the prophets of the Old Testament, kings of old, they desire to experience for themselves, but Jesus says, but they can't. To be able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us today. Oh, I pray that you're listening. I pray that you will be obedient. I pray that you will surrender. I pray that you will submit. I pray that you will lower yourself. Kick that pride down, lower yourself, and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Because God is wanting to use you. God is wanting to speak through you. The Lord Jesus is wanting to send you out today. Don't take this lightly. You may not go two by two. You may go by yourself. You may go with your family. But the Lord wants to send you out nonetheless. But who's going to go? Hopefully all of you who call Jesus as Lord and Savior. But where will we go? Well, throughout this county. For some of you, it's going to be out of state because you live out of state or you work out of state. But what will we do? Bring peace. Heal the sick if the Holy Spirit provides that opportunity. Share the gospel when the Holy Spirit provides that opportunity. Rebuke demons in Jesus' name if the Holy Spirit brings that possible. Now, how many did I lose so far already with that one? I ain't doing that. Why not? That's the problem. Well, I ain't going to do that. That's weird. Go up to somebody and rebuke evil spirits out of them. Why? Is it something that is weird? Out of your comfort zone? Unnatural? It's a thing of God. So if God does lead you, because you're praying and God does use you, then do it. Be available to do it. But what will we say? Well, I shared some scriptures early in the beginning of my message, so here's a couple more. Romans 5:8. God has demonstrated His love to you by sending His Son Jesus to die for you. Even though, while God knew that you were a sinner. Romans 6:23, God gives us a free gift of eternal life, His Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 14:6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can enter into heaven another way. Be encouraged. Those that refuse you are refusing Jesus. Be encouraged. Jesus said that we would be able to do greater things than he did. Be encouraged. Jesus doesn't lie. I like that one. Be encouraged. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. So walk in faith. Pray with the Father and be led by the Holy Spirit. Last slide, slide 7. He commissions us to do something today and go. If I can get a couple of ushers to come down, and then Jim and Jacob, if you can help out. One to each individual or family. Thomas and Kaylee, you want to come and pass some of these out? Raise your hand if you want one. If they raise their hand, just give them one. You can use this one for your family, or if you're an individual because you don't have a family and you're just by yourself, go ahead and take one. But this is the challenge. That card says paid for you. The easiest way you could use this, go through a drive-thru. You go through a drive-thru, you pay for your meal, you ask the person at the cashier, hey, I got a 20 in my hand, or I got a 10. How much is the person behind me? What's their tab? Oh, their tab is $8.75. Well, here's a 10. Can you please give them this card? You pay for their meal, you take off. That's the easiest way. So for those of you that don't like interaction, you're kind of shy and timid. Hey, look, the Lord will work with you. The Lord will use you however. Look, he knows you. He knows you're scared. He knows you sweat and you're like, oh, I don't know what to say. Look, the Lord knows that. So it is awesome to know that God doesn't expect all of you to go ahead and witness or do something like he wants me to do it. Because all y'all quit right away. I mean, because some of you are just so timid. You don't know what to say. You're scared. But listen, this is one of the easiest ways. Go through a drive-thru. You pay for the person behind you. Now, I heard a story a couple years ago. This happened at a coffee place. Right? Now, they didn't have, one person had that card, and they used the card, but then the card just got lost because this ended up happening. 78 transactions, meaning 78 different orders. That's how far it went. The person paid and then paid for the person behind them. When that person got up to the counter and found out, that person paid for the person behind them. And then as people left, people came, oh, well, somebody already paid for your drink. Well, where are they at? Well, they already left. And that went on for 78 consecutive times. The story didn't say they were all Christian. So let's just say they're not all Christian that went into that coffee shop. They were more willing to go ahead and bless somebody that they didn't even know. And we, who are Christians, who have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling inside of us, if we can't find an opportunity or a reason to do that, there's something wrong. I've prayed that passion would ignite within you. I've prayed that the urgency to mobilize yourself and or your family to go ahead and do something like this to share the gospel. Here's another example. Oh, you'll also notice on the card, it doesn't say Hidden Treasure Assembly of God. This is no way in any form or fashion to advertise Hidden Treasures. It's to advertise the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ. So, but if it does happen that you begin to talk to somebody because they want to know, why are you doing this? And they begin to ask why you're different, because nobody does that nowadays. That you might have been the first person ever to buy their food or drink or coffee or whatever. And they begin to ask you, ding, 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 your opportunity to share what the Lord's wanting you to share. You share the gospel, share your salvation. Number two, this is the next one that you could do. Take notes if you're taking notes. Surprise dinner. What do you mean surprise dinner? Well, how many of you guys go to a restaurant? How many of you guys go to a fast food joint? Okay, and you order something, all right? And you're ordering something, and then there's somebody behind you, they're buying dinner. Or you're sitting at a table, you look over, and you get a hold of that waiter or waitress, and you say, give me their tab. What? Yeah, give me their tab. Now, some people may not be able to do this. Others may be able to do this. And then you just go over to the table and give them that card and say, surprise, and then walk away. The waiter and waitress will go ahead and explain it to them. Well, they paid for your bill. What do you mean? Well, they paid for your bill. They walked out and paid for your bill. Don't worry about the tip because they got me covered. What? Surprise dinner. Now, if buying someone's dinner is too much, how about a surprise dessert? You go to a restaurant, you go to a fast food, you go ahead and you buy. I mean, if there's only 5 people in Chick-fil-A, go up to the cashier and say, hey, make shakes for all these 5 people that are in here. Here's the money. See you later. Give them these cards. And you walk out. Surprise dessert. I mean, look, some of you guys can probably come up with a great idea. Share them with me. I like to know, but these are just a couple that just came from me. Take out blessing. You know someone that can't, is home ridden. They can't go anywhere. Call them. Find out what they like to eat. Bring a takeout to their front door and give it to them. Give them that card. Now, wait a minute. This is kind of awkward. This is weird. Well, you know what? It's a whole lot easier if you know them. So if you want to, start with people you know. If you want to take a leap of faith, go do it for a complete stranger. Now, this is the last one. Matthew party. I've talked about these before. It's just something where you have a dinner, you have a lunch, you have a cookout. You invite some neighbors down your street. You just invite them to just come on over for a burger, hot dogs, just hang out, coffee, pizza, and a movie. You just have a Matthew party. And you just talk about, well, talk about your yard, talk about their yard. Sooner or later, you end up talking about their story. You end up talking about your story. Ding, 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 ding. You get to talk about his story. It's not complicated. You know what's the most difficult part is? You. Stepping over you. Stepping over your will and doing the will of God. Just be open. Now, see, if I've read one of these things and they don't hit you, they don't say, oh, well, you know, that's a great thing to do. You got something better? Then do it. But don't have intentions. Put a plan to do it and be active about that. These are just some ideas. You might have something better. Good. Change it to fit your plan that you believe God wants you to do. This is an important thing, though, to pray. Pray, pray, pray. And cover your mission to Camden with prayer for the opportunity to speak to those people that you're going to do whatever you're going to do to share with them the good news of Jesus, because that's why we're doing it, to share the good news of Jesus, to share what God has done for you and how you want to express or demonstrate God's precious love to them. The good news of Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Father, we come to you and I thank you, Father, for this message today. I thank you, Father God, Lord, that you're speaking to us. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I still believe, Holy Spirit, that there are people that are wanting more of you. There are people that are seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you that every week we got people praying for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that people will stop being afraid, stop being timid. Lord, that they will just step out and begin to speak as the Spirit gives them utterance. Lord, I pray, Father, that their intelligence, Lord, would not stand in the way, Father God, because it's just all about faith. It's taking a step of faith and beginning to speak what you are pouring into them already. Father, I thank you, Lord, that as we go out these doors today, we are not going to have intentions. We are going to make plans and we're going to stick to those plans and we're going to share the love of Jesus Christ. We're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ in word and in deed. Lord, I thank you. I pray, Father, that as everyone prays, as every family prays, and as they cover their plan, Lord, in prayer, Father, that you will send them to the right restaurant, you'll send them to the right place, you'll send them to the right people, that you will provide a wide open door, Father God, to share the truth, God. It is the truth that makes people free. Today, some were shouting out, but as we were saying today, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. If Jesus is not your Lord and Savior today, if you cannot honestly say, man, when I die and I stand before God, I am not sure that I will enter the kingdom of God. There is a phrase that Jesus will say that I want all of us to hear when we stand before Jesus. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. That's when we begin to walk into the kingdom of God. I want everyone in this room to hear that when they stand before the Lord. But it is a decision that you must make. So if that's you today, you want to make sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You want to confess of your sins. You want to make Jesus number one of your life. I want to encourage you as this song plays. I want to encourage you to come to the altar. A lot of people don't like to come to the altar. Look, the altar is not scary. The altar is not a place where you come up and people begin to point...